Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Here's a friendly suggestion. Those beautiful views deserve some new frames. Custom designs and superior service make getting new windows a work of art. A free, no-pressure renewal by Andersen consultation is just a call or click away. When it's time to talk windows, we'll bring the wisdom. Renewal by Andersen.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Welcome to Unruly. I'm your host, Sheila Marie. I'm an author, a fierce advocate for Black women, and the founder of the Curvy Curly Conscious Movement. In this space, I'm sharing what I've learned on my own journey while sitting down with some amazing women who are all navigating their own paths to healing. Because there's no better time than now to get a little unruly. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Unruly with your girl, Sheila Marie. Today, I have one of my favorite internet people. She's a real person. She doesn't live on the internet only, but I feel like I know her mostly through the internet. So you know that feeling where it seems like everybody else has it figured out? And with social media now more than ever, there's this huge temptation to measure your sense of success to other people. Yeah, clock it. Today's guest, Mylique, she reminds us that someone else's clarity is not your compass. And we're going to talk more on that later. Mylique Teal is someone who people turn to for clarity. We look to her for advice, for direction. As the founder of Curlbox, she's a woman who's built a career on wisdom, transparency, and radical self-trust. Mylique has helped a generation of women dream bigger, work smarter, and live more intentionally, not just by being perfect, but by being clear. Mylique is the voice behind her podcast. It's amazing. If you haven't listened, what are you doing? It's become a rite of passage for the ambitious woman. It's a guide for those navigating the messy in the middle. And in this conversation, we're going to talk about what it means to keep going when the vision is unclear and the path is uncertain. This is When the Path Isn't Clear, You Keep Going Anyway. Welcome to the stage, Mylique.
That's so sweet. Thank you. I know. I feel the same way about knowing people from the internet.
You know?
And I will see people out and I'm like, have we met? Because like, is this our first time seeing each other in person? Because we have known each other for years, actually.
Yes. That's how it feels. We have these, I mean, I feel like, especially for us, like millennials, we grew up on the internet. Yes. And we have a lot of parasocial relationships. And I do think sometimes people like to poo-poo them, but you can really build real connections, as you have.
I think
you do.
Yeah. It's like I was at the wedding, kind of.
Right, exactly.
I'm like, was that the proposal? Was that the wedding?
We're there.
What are we doing? How are you?
We're good. Yeah. Okay, so I have some icebreaker questions. These are kind of like rapid fire. Okay?
Let's do it.
So do you stand as soon as the plane lands? And if so, explain yourself.
I don't.
Right answer.
I don't. Yeah, I don't, because I just am like, they got to open the door, y'all. Like, it's going to be a minute. And when I see people doing that, I'm like, all right, you know, I assume these people don't travel often. And if I'm just like being generous of what I'm thinking, it's like maybe they need to stretch their legs. Maybe they're in a rush.
That's it. That's always when people respond to me when I say that. They're always like, well, I got to stretch my legs. I'm like...
Yeah,
but I don't have a problem with those people. I have a problem with the people who are getting their bag and standing in the middle of the aisle, and now their butt's in my face, and I can't get my bag. You know?
Yeah, and to just go home. Like, these people, there are people who have connecting flights. Like, I can be open to that. But, like, if you're just going home, like, chill.
Right answer. Okay.
Yes.
Are your days mostly wavy or straight?
That's a hard one. That's a hard one, because I would probably say a little bit of both. You know, I do have a sort of like straight personality, meaning I do really well with like a beat, you know, like a rhythm. Like, I do this, I do this, I do that. Right. But what those things are wavy.
Okay. I like that. So it's like flexibility within structure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I work within a certain amount of time. There are some things that I always do, you know, but what I do with the time is different.
You appear like on the outside as somebody who really has it together and is able to just like work in systems. I feel like I don't know that about you, but if I had to guess, I would say, oh, Mylik is like a systems girl.
Yeah, I would say yes and no. Right. Like, there is this thing of like, it seems like I have it together. And I will say, I do have a lot of my shit together.
Period.
Like, you know, there are a lot of things that I think that I'm, you know, I'm disciplined.
It's really good.
I was just ranting about, sorry to just take you down a path, but like, my son, he is 7, and it's like,
already?
I get these reports about him. He's 7 already. He's almost done with first grade. And I get these reports about him. I found something in my office, and it's just like, just about how great he is. And I think he's just like naturally set that way. And I found myself trying to give him a talk yesterday. Like, you know, it's okay to just fall apart sometimes, right?
That's
like,
so cute. Oh,
you know, it's okay to just like not bring all your A game every day, you know? And so, let's see. And so I just try to give myself space to be human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we're all trying to figure this craziness out.
Yeah.
What?
I feel safer in that.
Okay.
You know,
that makes sense to me. I definitely get that. What is there a non-negotiable in your daily rhythm right now?
Non-negotiable. I don't do things before 10 o'clock.
You're the second person who's told me that. She's like,
I don't do. Yeah.
No.
I don't do things for other people before 10 o'clock.
Yep.
Like, I'll do things for myself, but I don't do things for other people before 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say mostly 5 days a week, I stop for lunch at noon every day. Every blue moon, I'll like take a call, or I'll do something that I want to do, but I stop every day for an hour for lunch.
Do you work 5 days a week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do.
Okay. So you keep a pretty schedule like that. It's going back to like flexibility within the structure.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm very kind of nerdy in that way of like, yeah, I do work Monday through Friday. You know, there are some days where I may not have anything to do, but I like working.
I was going to say, also, when the kids are in school, I kind of feel like it lends itself more to that, because you like working when they're not there. And then when they get home, you kind of want to play, and you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
I like my work. I love my work.
I
kind of like working.
And I love that you love your work. Absolutely.
Yeah.
When do you feel most clear?
Such a good question. When do I feel most clear? Probably, I think I feel most clear after I have like met a challenge that seems hard, and I still am like steady in myself. And so I think every time I get to test who I am or who I say I am, I think that's when I feel like clear. Like, I can have an experience where it does not feel good, you know, or I don't love it, or I don't love the way a person is acting. And it's just like, every time I am who I say I am, I'm like, dang, yes, You're still you.
Do you feel the clarity in the process, or is it only after you've overcome, like you're on the other side of the problem?
I think in the process, because I think a part of being clear is giving yourself room to kind of like have that notepad of just like, okay, you know, writing things out, not having it all right, but just like matching it up against what you want to do, what you want to say, you know, and then just kind of being like, yeah, no, you know. And so I've gone through that of like, at the end when I closed my business, there were some opportunities to sell it, but it was just like, if this is all going to come back to me having a job, then,
well,
and that's not what I want to do, you know? And it's like, money's nice, but like, it's not an exchange for my time right now. No. So you kind of just got to let it go. And so I think it's like, yes, I am still clear. If I can walk away from things, if I can not cling to things, fight for things, beg for things, like, I'm clear.
I just listened to your last episode and you were saying in there, you're never happy with anything you had to beg for.
If it's
a job, if it's a relationship, you always, like, when you get it, it doesn't work in your life. It doesn't feel good, right?
No. And so if you feel yourself doing that, like, if that, like, noticing, clarity, like, oh, snap, I'm doing it, you know, because there are some things that we really want. Right. You know, but why do you really want it? It's just like, do I want to win? Do I want people to know I won? It's like, it all comes back to like, I get to sleep with myself every night and I really do want to go to bed.
Amen. I know that's right. So yeah. You're definitely someone that we look to. I don't know if you know that, but a lot of us, I think you do. A lot of us do look to you for clarity. You always seem to have the right words to say. You always seem to be able to be grounded even when things feel shaky, like even right now where there's so many transitions. I know so many entrepreneurs, business owners are in a big pivot phase right now. So was there a time though when you didn't have the clarity and you still showed up and decided to lead anyway?
Yeah, you know, I'm sure, you know, I think that there are just some parts of me that I think the gift of like, my parents were very young, you know, my parents were very young. And so I was kind of like, I don't know if they know what they're talking about.
Really?
I kind of was like, my mom used to always say, like, you would always like look at other people and be like, she said, you would just like look at other people, see their cars, see how they were living and be like, what do you think they do? Or, you know, I would ask questions about like, what kind of person do you think that is? And I think I kind of, since I was really young, like, okay. And then I started to sort of pick apart. I did a lot of reading. I love like biographies and just like, there are all these little like common denominators and little things that people who kind of like move along do. And I think I kind of just picked that up along the way, tested some things out. You know, I've had some, I'm a villain in some stories, you know, and
say more about that.
Yeah. No one's going to be happy with you all the time, you know, and some people are not going to like you. And I think that's just something you have to accept about being a human being, right?
Did you always have that ability to separate that? Or is it something you had to learn?
I think I learned it, you know. I think I learned it. I think that is the gift that I think both of my parents gave me, is they both kind of had these like nonchalant attitudes of just like, whatever.
I love your parents. You know?
Like, yeah. So it's like the gift of me being like, I don't know about them. But also like, they also had this way of just kind of like, my mom, I remember being like, these people don't like me. I was like third, fourth grade. And it's just like, I don't care who likes you. I like you and that's enough. It's like, dang. But also, she right, you know, she's just like, I don't care. Because I had this thing and I noticed it about myself now. It's like, I did well, you know, it was like I started a new school and I did really good in the class, and the teacher waits till the end of the month to make this grand announcement about the student of the month, who, you know, she does this and I'm like, and it's me. Oh. And I was like, my mind's kind of blown, and then everyone hated me for the rest of the school year.
Haters.
And that really bothered me. But I think it's just, you start to learn early that being who you are will I think what are the kids that trigger people or just impact them mm-hmm. or bring up things mm-hmm. for them. And it's just always kind of your job to kind of just know what's about them and what's about you and what's about them.
That's it right there. You just got to know what's about you and what's about them, because a lot of it is, yeah. is them.
Yeah. Like, I didn't know he was going to do that. I didn't know there was some award. I just didn't know. I was just trying to be good.
Exactly. There's a quote, yeah. and I want to say Dr. Maya Angelou, but I can't confirm. But people will okay. see greatness in you. They will see terrible things in you. And most of it will have nothing to do with you.
Completely.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Even making sure the good stuff, like all the good stuff.
My leak, you ain't never lied. I have to remind myself all the time, do not take that in either way.
Yeah.
Because then when it yeah. changes, because inevitably it will, there's going to be this big ego, death and things going on versus mm-hmm. just noticing that that's what, you know, people are feeling.
Yeah.
Did you ever have yeah. any like fog? Did the fog ever set in where you couldn't access clarity? Maybe yeah. post curl box or postpartum pandemic?
For sure. Yeah. All that. All of those. You know, it's like I went into parenting or motherhood with a idea of the type of parent I was going to be. I was going to be very career focused because, like I said, I do enjoy work. I am a person who likes to work.
I love that.
Strangely.
I love
that. You know, I do. On things that I want to work on, I love solving problems. I love, like, I do. I love working. And so I thought, like, you know, I'm not going to turn off my work for motherhood. And then, you know, you become a mother and then there's just all these, it was a tug of war, an identity, death, who I thought I was, really how I want to show, how I wanted to show up for my kids. And just having a kid who, I said, I did a panel recently and I was like, the kids I thought I was going to have are not the kids I
no
have.
No way. Really?
Like, oh God, yeah. This is the kids that I thought I, my leak, you know.
What kids did you think you have versus what kids did you have?
I thought I would have, like, you know, these little smart, you know, quiet. I was a chill kid, you know, like my godparents, they used to say, they were like, we used to love taking you places because you were just such a little lady and you just like sat there and crossed your arms. And, you know, I was like that. I was like a chill and mature kid. And I thought, like, certainly those are, I'm going to just have more me's, right?
Right. Naturally.
No. My first kid came and he was just like, you know, what is that? It's the new, what the hell? What the like, that's how I felt. In my, that's how I felt every day of parenting him.
Really?
I'm just like, this is, who is he? Who is he? You know, and I think I had to take a step back from serving myself to really get to know, like, to number one, get to know him. Number two, learn how to parent someone like that, because we just, most of us don't have the tools, you know, like this is a kid who, for what I knew at the time, even someone who had done a ton of therapy is just like, kids who behave like this are bad, you know? Oh. And I was just like, this is like, there's no way.
And
this
there's
kid
so
can be
much
bad.
Stigma on having polite, like well-behaved children, especially in the Black community. So
yeah,
we don't, you know, yeah. He bad, you know? And it's like,
yeah.
What Cat Williams said in his special, he's eating Skittles. He's supposed to eat Skittles. Those are kids too. Like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But I feel like my son was like, whatever it is, on steroids, you know? Like he hit, he kicked, he, you know, he screamed, and he was so smart. So a lot of the things he said so young, like his dad would say, you know, they walk out the door. He'd be like, you know, say goodbye to your mom. You have the best mom in the world. And he would be like, she's not.
What? Because would his argument be like, how can I know? I haven't met all the moms.
How can I know? I haven't met all
mothers.
He's
actually right. Like, I mean,
he said she's just okay.
Oh, first of all, I'm sorry. I affirm him, but I also feel like that's probably very hard to hear as a mom.
And it was just that
kids
all the time.
Kids hate you, Malik. They really do.
They do. It was that all the time of just like, so I took a lot of time to try to figure out how to nurture him. And so I spent a lot of time, you know, a lot of time working. I talk about Dr. Becky all the time, good inside, a lot of FaceTime, a lot of texting, a lot of help me out. And then I think it made me a better parent for my daughter. And so she is like, I think in my mind, like I have a daughter, I want her to she's, you know, kind of like low maintenance. I was just thinking, you know, she's, girl, please. She is like, I need 3 bracelets, 3 necklaces, dresses, do my hair.
So
like she is, I'm beautiful. Take a picture of my dolls. And so my children are not like me.
You're like, in a certain way, you're a CEO all over again with these little
all over again
managing people and personalities and figuring it out.
Yeah. And my daughter's not ambitious. Like, she is like me and my son, we are just like aggressive. And last summer I said, okay, we're doing a 100 book reading challenge. The next day she just comes up to me and she goes, Mommy, I'm sorry. And I go, I'm like, about what? She goes, I know read.
I know read is crazy.
Like, she said, you know it. Like, y'all, like,
that's y'all thing.
Y'all do that. That's y'all thing. I don't do that. And I joke, she talks with her shoulder. So everything's kind of like,
I'm too good for this.
Like, ambition is not, like, I did not come here for that. And we so need her.
Okay, so this relates to the idea of clarity, because you had a vision, a clear vision of what you thought was going to happen.
Oh,
and now you're living a reality that's different. So what do you do in that gap?
Yeah, I think that's the whole point of clarity, is that it's always working, right? Like, it's always like scribbling notes and scratching out. I used to think that. I don't think that anymore. That was true for me. This is no longer true for me. And just like, what are my hard lines? I have so few hard lines, and just like, I don't know, like now I have these 2 different kids who, you know, who inspire different parts of me, and just like my job, like you said, the CEO, like my job is just like to support them and advocate for them. And that's kind of just what I've been doing, you know? So my kids have gone to different schools, and I have like moved a kid who I just was like my younger one, who's just not into all that. Like, she needs a little bit more runway to do her. She's more physical. She's more, you know, like she uses her body. Like she could use a hoverboard. Like, this girl, she could use her body. And I think to be so in tune with your body so young, like, she knows it.
Don't they come with lessons and things that they teach you all the time?
Yeah. So just
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, I just don't want them to override their settings. Like, y'all know the settings. I'm just here to support the settings.
Override the settings.
Yeah.
Malik, I just want to honor you for that as a mother, because I'm a bonus mom, but I just can't imagine that's so difficult. Because you're constantly having to make peace. You constantly have to work towards acceptance. And then you're really trying to nurture them and find the best version of them. And I do think they come with lessons and change you. My bonus daughter, she just graduated 8th grade yesterday, actually.
Wow. Did she?
Yeah, she's growing up.
What?
And I notice how much I have to be mindful of how I speak about myself and women's bodies. Like, if we're watching a show or anything, I'm always like, wow, she's so beautiful. That's so beautiful. You know, or me, I'm like, oh, I love the way I look. And, you know, whereas like before, if she wasn't here, I might be like, oh, I feel chubby right now, or say something negative about myself. And I don't say that. I'm like, if I say that in front of her, she's listening.
She's listening. You are creating self-talk, right? It's
correct.
Like, where these voices that we hear, where they come from.
That will be her inner voice later. And I do.
And we think we're
that.
Doing something. Because we're like, well, I didn't say it to her, but you're saying it around her. You're saying it, you know, and that is having a daughter, trust me, locked in, you know, locked in, because I want for her, like, I grew up with adults commenting about bodies, you know.
Yeah, me too.
I grew up in hair.
Oh, yeah.
And is it good? Is it not good?
That's a greeting when they see you. Hey, girl, you gained weight.
Yeah. And so I try to be affirm. I don't want to be too neutral, right? I don't want to be too neutral. Like, yeah, you know, she'll be like, am I so cute? Because people around her are saying these things, you know? And so she's noticing, and she's just trying to make space for her to find her way, you know? Because now she's in the face, like, can I be her? Or like, she's always looking for herself in a book or on a show. Like, she's always like, which one's me? You know? And I'm like, okay.
I feel like your kids are going to be just go on to produce, or not even produce, not be amazing in this world.
I hope so.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so it is. Yes.
Yeah.
So while we're on the topic of motherhood, I do want to talk about this. I was talking about this on Threads a while back, just about the inescapability of grief at large. But especially when it comes to my own fertility journey. And you commented and basically in so many words said, there's grief either way.
Yeah.
That there's grief. You know, I was one of those women also, too, that had grief because I wanted children and now I have children and there's grief here, too. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think the only reason why I felt qualified to speak to some of that is because I attempted to freeze my eggs at around 35 and I took all the medicine, spent all the money and got to the end. And it was just like, yeah, not you. Like your egg count is too low. You've already entered,
yep, that's what they said to me.
You're premenopausal. It's this, it's that. And I didn't even have anybody I wanted to have kids with at the time, but I was just like,
really?
Dang, no. But the grief I felt from like being told no,
it hurts
or just
so much.
Like, meaning like just being a person that's like, everything I go after, I get. What you talking about? You know what I mean? Like, I do this. Like no's don't apply to me. And it's just like, oh, snap. You can, your body's your body and science is science and it is what it is. Like, so just this idea that I could think I had done everything right, you know, focus on this thing first and try to do this.
And same.
Like, it was just, same. it was a gut punch.
Same.
It was a gut punch. And then my therapist, I was talking, my therapist, she's like, get a second opinion. Girl, get a second opinion. She was like, So it's like a further karate chop to the throat, right? Where it's like the second opinion also said, yeah, your egg count is very low. But the thing that she said is that she was just like, but I think it was like, I had like a 2% chance of having children. She was like,
similar to mine.
Yeah, she was like, 2% is not zero. And I was just like, whatevs, you know? And so kind of went through that little part. And then I met someone and then was, so then, and he even said to me.
So you like, were already, you know, having all of these conversations before you met him?
I did, yeah.
Wow.
So when I meet him, which is like, I think this is a must-have conversation. So when I meet him, I'm like, I have a 2% chance of having children like in the next like couple years. So this is a conversation that I have to bring into our dating today, even though. And he told me, he was like, you know, I do have to admit, it is a little uncomfortable to have just met you and to be talking about children, you know.
You're like, well, here we are.
Yeah, it's like your biology is not, you don't have to worry about biology, but I do. And so that's what we're going to do. And so he and I went through that. And initially, he didn't want children, you know? So that was another kind of like, so I felt like there's a lot of different waves of grief that I felt like I had gone through. And then it was like, then he was just like, okay, I want to talk to you. I think I do want to have kids. And so I was like, oh, Lord. And then it's that thing of like getting called to the carpet where you think you want something and then somebody brings it up. It's like, oh, shoot.
You're like, wait.
Hold on. Yeah. So, you know, and then I had both of my children naturally. I got pregnant with my daughter on the first try, which that was another kind of grief because I was just like, what the hell? Like, this wasn't supposed to happen like this, right? This was supposed to be, I was supposed to try a bunch of times. I was supposed to be disappointed. I was like prepping myself
for all
of that. Wait,
I'm sorry to clarify. Forgive me if this is an appropriate question, but you got pregnant with your daughter without doing any IVF?
Nothing. No, my son and my daughter.
After doing all of that.
All of that.
That's crazy. God works in mysterious ways.
Yeah.
And so you were surprised both times, or was it a surprise? You were actively like, nope, I know this is.
I said, when he said he wanted to try, I said, here's what I can do with, like, here's what I can do for my mental health. Because I said, I'm not going to take clock dates and all that, right. You know. I'll do my, like, I'll be aware of it, but I'm not going to be on top of it. I'm going to just chill out. So when we decided to try, I kind of slowed my travel down. I was like, I'm just going to like try to turn down the volume on the stress and we'll just see what happens. And we got pregnant. I had a miscarriage.
I'm sorry.
And this was the part that was super traumatic. I had a miscarriage. I knew I had a miscarriage. Lady walks in the room. Congratulations. No, that's not why we're here. She's had the wrong chart.
Oh my gosh. Oh my God, Miley. I am so sorry. Like, if you've never been through, you don't know what that feels like in the moment.
I walked out of the appointment. I never saw the doctor. I could not continue. like, it was too much.
Oh my goodness.
So at that point, I said to him, I'm not doing any doctor intervention. Because at that point,
that's exactly what I said.
Yeah, at that point, I was like, maybe I was going to that appointment and I was going to be like, well, what can I take and what can I do? Because I just had a miscarriage. After that, I was like, nah. I left and I said, the only thing that I remember a friend saying, this is the most fertile window to try is after you've miscarried. Like, try not to let the grief get you.
They
just
did
go
say
for
that
it.
As well.
And so I got pregnant with my son, had my son. I was like, said to dad, like, I cannot have another child before I'm unwilling to try until I reach the 18-month mark. So at the 18-month mark, he looked at me, I looked at him, and I was like, about to go out of town. I was like, this is it.
No
like, this is the only day I'm willing to try. Got pregnant with our daughter.
Dang, Miley. Your kids chose you, girl. They was like, this is my mama. I'm coming right now.
They insisted on me. And so when we got pregnant with her, I had grief because I was just like, oh my God, what did I get myself into? I do want this, but it is. And so Sheila, after I had the kids, there was a lot of grief. And I think that we just don't give women enough permission.
Nope.
To talk about the grief. It's happening now because you should be grateful. There are other people who want kids. You wanted this.
Uh-huh.
You went through all of that. And it's like, yeah. And
but how do you know? How could you ever really, like, could you ever, Miley, really say, oh, this is something I want? Could you ever choose it? How, we have no idea how to scope, grasp what it will actually be like.
And I don't think you know what the child is going to trigger for you. It's something different, right? Like some of the things that my friend had issues with, I don't have issues
Correct.
With, right? Like my son, he cried. He cried all day, every day, all day, every day, to the point where now I just tell people, your kid's crying does not bother me. Like, please, like, crying just sounds like music to me at this point.
You got used to it, like...
Yeah, I had to build that, right? Having kids brought up so much for me, it was like, damn, did anybody ever even love me? You know, it's like, sing to your child, because now we have all this access. Like, if you sing to them, I was like, what songs? You know, so I was like, I'm trying to sing to my child. I'm trying
Girl,
to connect with
you
them.
Working with some, yeah, back here. Yeah. Like, no, not that one, That's our lullaby.
I don't know any lullabies, you know? I'm like, did anybody ever play with me? You know,
right.
I just, it's all these things that came up that, and something that I love that I work with Dr. Becky on is just like access to your desires, right? My kids, like my son, nothing's enough. It felt like nothing's enough. You know, he wants more. And I remember saying to the child psychologist, like, how do I equip him for just a life where you're not going to get everything? And it was just like,
same,
you can
over here.
validate them. There is nothing wrong with wanting more. And I'm not getting it, you know? And I think that was the piece that I didn't have. There's nothing wrong with wanting more. There's nothing wrong with, he said to his dad yesterday, I need $26 million.
Sir.
He goes,
me too,
what?
Friend. Me too.
He goes, that's not even a lot.
Okay. Girl, these kids, Sailor, she's on TikTok. I hate that she has social media. She's like, we're out the other day and she's pointing at a Porsche. I'll take that as my first car. I'm like, you'll take that. What do you mean?
Sister,
you're getting a Toyota.
Come on, for you to scrape up.
Yeah. Hello? But
yeah.
There is so much. What I love hearing you talk about your journey to motherhood is that in the midst of chaos, you're still able to find your clarity, like your bottom line. I am 18 months. That's it. This is when I'm trying.
Yeah.
I'm stopping here. And by the way, I absolutely agree. I told Ace, I was like, just so you know, babe, I'm not doing any more interventions. If it doesn't happen for me naturally, I'm not doing IVF. I'm not doing, like, it just, you get it. Like, being in those waiting rooms and you're there and all the women around you are pregnant and all the, you know, it's like, I said, you know what? I do want children, but I also, like, love myself.
Yeah.
And I don't want to put myself, I don't even want this to be my entry point because it feels like something that we talked about earlier. It felt like begging to me.
Yeah.
Felt like, please. I was like, yes. I don't like this energy.
Yeah. That was it. That's what I think it's tough. it's tough. And I'm surprised that I had the children. I'm surprised because I had kind of given up.
Me too, right? Like, yeah, all right, well, I guess yeah. I'll live a different life. That's cool too.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that it happened for you, Malik. Absolutely.
Oh,
and I
you.
Also really enjoy the way you protect your children because I'm not sure if I've ever seen them. I don't think you show them online.
Sometimes.
Do they have red hair? Am I imagining that?
Yeah, you probably are. Their hair is a little bit on the dustier side. My daughter, like, she has like brown hair, but I show them sometimes. Like, I don't put them. I don't always put them on my feed. I do share them sometimes in my stories, and I do that because sometimes I grapple with it. I do understand how important it is to see it, to believe it sometimes,
man.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's just, you do need to see what is possible for you. I had my son a month and a half before I turned 39, and I have my daughter at 41 years old. And I think sometimes it is important for you to see
100%
that somebody of a certain age had children.
Absolutely. It's inspiring. Yeah. Yes, Malik. But yeah. I think you have a really expert grasp on how you built in the public eye, but you still keep so many things sacred.
Yeah.
How do you find that balance?
You know, I've been on the internet a long time. And so before people were using their real names on the internet, right? So it's like I was on message boards and message boards were violent. Like people would go low. Like whatever y'all think the internet is doing now, it was really like, so I had all these different like gossip sites and boards, like those are the places that I know how people are. And I think there's some things, because I know that there are things that exist about me out in the world. But I think it's just like a self-protection thing of like, helps me stay in integrity because I still have fantasies about kicking people's asses, you know? And so I do. And this just helps me stay in integrity.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, like this helps me. This helps me be a better person to not really even set you up to fail, right? To not even put you in a place where we're all misbehaving. You know, you don't want to, because I know you don't mean it, because there has not been a single time that I have connected with someone who was awful who continued to be awful.
What do you mean?
Meaning, if you have talked trash about me or you have done something rude or you have gotten in my comments and if I get together with
That's
you, you don't continue to misbehave. This is not even what you want to do. And so I am going to make
that
it
sounded a little bit like a threat there.
I'm going to make it easy for us to both be in integrity and maintain our character, right? I don't want to do it. And you don't really want to do it either. And I know that because all you have to do is really contact these people or sit with them or talk to them. And they are not tough.
Man, it's so
true. They are not mean. They are actually really sweet people who are hurting and they just need a hug.
Great
they
way
just,
to look at it.
They need some attention. And it's just like, let's do it this way. We don't have to do it that way.
How often are you able to take that approach versus going to hill?
You know,
I need to go there more often.
Yeah, I think I can do it. I can do it a lot more. I think having children really helps me see that, right? I think because my kids really, you know, it's like when they are misbehaving or throwing a tantrum or something like that, it's like, oh, you just needed a hug, or oh, you were hungry, or oh, you know what I mean? It's rarely what you see.
Okay,
you know,
that's a good
rarely
point.
The surface. It's rarely the, you know, you threw the toy because you were trying to hurt me. It's like you threw the toy because you didn't feel heard. You thought I didn't see you, or, you know, something like that. And so they have helped me become even more generous.
So yeah, if we think of adults as toddlers, it'll maybe help a little bit. Because yeah, we're not that different. That's a great way to look at it. Again, we're talking again about not internalizing it and not picking up something that isn't yours, which is really a great way to protect yourself and reserve your own personal vision and energy.
Completely.
How do you define progress in seasons where there are no applause? There are no external markers. I know a lot of us are conditioned to that. We grew up on social media. But like, how do you know when you're progressing, even if there's not anybody there to see it or witness it?
You know, I think I talked about this when I was younger on my podcast about how difficult it becomes to, first of all, like why we even care about progress, right? Which is kind of the talk I was trying to have with my son. So it's like, you know, because he had gotten his second sticker chart and like, you know, he just blows through these, gets these sticker, you know, and when he gets a prize. And I was like, you know, when you become an adult, there's no sticker charts, there's no prizes. And you have to find a way to be motivated, you know, to do things without getting stickers and without getting prizes. And so I think sometimes when you talk about progress, I think if you're really living your life, sometimes it's hard to see, you know? Sometimes it's that thing of like, you don't notice it until you're walking down off the mountain. You don't even know you were at the top of the mountain until you're starting to walk down into the valley, right? You don't even know. And so I think that I don't really... Progress, I think when you talk about clarity and just like showing up and just like every time you get an opportunity, like the wave comes and every time you ride it, I think that's progress. You know, it's like when you do things a little bit differently, when you close the gap on how long it would have taken you to do something, or like when you finally stop begging, like, oh my God, all of
that
is progress.
How do you keep track of that? How do you remind yourself, hey, Malik, this time it took you X amount versus that time?
Yeah. I would tell you, I had a situation probably like a month or two ago, and I tend to beat myself up at night, okay? When the day has ended and I'm going to get in the bed, I think about something I did or I said or something someone said to me, and I start to be like, oh my God, like I am a bad person, or that was bad. And this happened to me. And I just started like notice. I was like, oh, I'm noticing it. And I probably was able to shut it down in like probably like 3-4 minutes. And I was like, that's progress. Because there are times when that would have followed me for days. There are times when I would have wore that. There are times when I would have altered myself. And I was just like, I'm noticing it. I'm noticing it. And if I'm noticing it, I'm working with it and I'm welcoming it. And this is a thought. Doesn't mean that like I don't need to intertwine myself with it. And I could just like continuously find ways to like let it be like it's in Times Square. That's what I don't think we realize about a lot of the things we think. It's just like standing in the middle of Times Square. You are not Times Square. You are in Times Square.
That's a bar.
And when you're ready and when you're ready to leave, you can.
You are not Times Square. You're standing in Times Square.
Yeah.
I love that. Because then you can be a witness.
Yeah. Oh, I'm thinking that.
Right.
I'm not all these different billboards and things. This is other people's lives, other people's shows, Broadway shows, Verizon people. This is not me. This is happening.
It doesn't even
have to be happening to me
very
if I choose to leave.
Perspective. Exactly. Right.
I'm leaving.
I want to talk about growth for a second, because you said so much of my growth and healing is reflected in what I don't do. And I was like,
yes.
Ooh, what don't you do?
You know, I am still, I think I'm on the internet. You said it. You know, it's like the internet is a really interesting place where I think people will be subconsciously or unconsciously using you as their compass or like, and I don't think I realize like the way that I live, like this is not, it's not fake. You know, not to say that there is some stuff that might be fake. Who knows? We'll find out.
Curated,
perhaps.
Maybe.
I'm human.
But it's not. It's still real.
Yeah. It's just like, you know, and so I think sometimes when I start to notice that, like, okay, there's some social climbing. There's some not so good people here. Like I said, I do have fantasies about, you know, I was raised by very young parents who were very activated, you know? So it's like, I've watched my mother like slap somebody in the grocery store, you know? So it's like, that's that's my wiring, you know? So it's just like, I am wired to want to do that stuff. You know, I have that, you know, I have the desire, I have the urge. And not doing that,
mm-hmm.
not saying, like not stooping to people's levels, not trying to do what I see other people doing, you know?
That's so hard for me.
Yeah.
You know, not, I do it. Not because I think the great thing about me is I'm very open and I love ideas and I just love ideas. I'm very open. But the bad thing is sometimes I'm like, wait, that's what they're doing. No, that's not your thing.
Yeah.
And I definitely get guilty of that. How do you stay in your lane no matter what trends are doing and people are going? How do you stay clear? I'm like, this is my lane.
Yeah, I think it just goes to like, how does it feel in your body, right? Like, they're just,
How do you feel in your body when you know, when it's like, this is a yes?
I think it's just like, I'm trying too hard.
Yeah.
If I have to try too hard to do it, it's probably not for me. And that doesn't mean that I don't do hard things. But I think if it's like, if it's taking everything in me to like, you know, when people are just like, I can't even, if it's taking me everything in me to open my laptop to get to it, it's probably a chance I just don't want to do it, you know? And not that I want to do it and it's hard. It's just, I don't even really want to do this. I'm feeling like I have to do this. And like, I feel like that it happened to me in my business. Like, I felt like I was no longer good at what I was doing, you know? I was no longer good at it. And I think I was not good at it because I was not interested in it, you know? And that's just a hard thing to be like, kind of not interested in this anymore, you know?
And what happened at that moment?
Then you try to do it harder, right?
Right.
You just try to do it harder. And then you realize this is not working. And if you are lucky enough, you will put it down. You know? And so I put it down. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't need to make this mean anything about me other than just don't want to do it anymore.
You didn't need to make it mean something about you.
No. Yeah.
And what happened after you put it down?
Freedom. I put it down and I took a year off, which I had never in the history of my life
ever
done.
None of us. I'm planning one right now for myself because I realized the other day, like, I'm fried.
Fried.
I'm just fried.
Yeah. Pandemic, two children, running a business. There were so many things that were happening in that business and just all the different people, all the different, you know, there's just a lot of stuff that I went through with that, that one day I said, I'll write a book and I'll share, but it was hard. And, I just was like, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore. And I kind of panicked because I was like, you know, I got real bills, you know, I live nice. Like, can I really get off the track? Like, can I get off the hamster wheel? And it's just like, yeah, like I saved money and I got off and then I did something for myself. So then I ended up taking like a 9-month long life coaching course. And I initially did that to really try to get better at like the passion work that I do, right? So it's like, I have always kind of been this person where it's like, I'm going to do the thing that makes the money. And then I'm going to just like, for free, like all my podcasts, all my retreats, like a lot of the stuff that I do, that stuff doesn't really cost a lot of money because that feels like service, right? And so I was like, I want to just get better at my service. And a part of the course is you actually do have to coach people, period. Like you have to do 70 hours, I think. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to just do my 70 hours. And I loved it so much.
Really?
You know, I loved it so much. And my therapist was kind of laughed because she was just like, I mean, what do you think your podcast was? What do you think your retreat was? Like, of course you love helping people, you know? And so to get this kind of like front row seat to support, I think I learned so much. Like, I really love supporting people. I really love encouraging people. I love listening to people. I love helping people untangle things. And so I feel so energized. There is no job I have ever had where I can look at my calendar and be like, oh my God, today's gonna be a good day. Like, I wonder what happened. I wonder what they did. I wonder, you know, are they okay? And it's just, it's a dream. And so I then became encouraged because I was doing it for free. And my therapist is like, I want you to tell me one person who does what you do for
free. Right.
And so I charge, you know, and it's just work I love. And so I took the year off. I did long lunches and coffees with friends. Like, my partner started teasing me. He would be like, everything you do is like 4 hours or 4 days. They'd be like, you're like, I'm going to dinner with friends. I'll be back in 4 days. You know, like I just started doing really long
living,
things.
Just living, just being
a lot of fiction, a lot of like yesterday. I bought my kids, how many, almost 1,000 water balloons. Like I threw water balloons with the kids. They love that.
I love that.
Yeah. So chilling, like, you
living
know,
life.
And a gift to my younger self. I was just like, all of that would have been in vain if you just don't gift her some time off, you know? And so the ego does show up, like, I want people to know I'm like still around or I still matter. But, you know, I think age. I'm mature now. I just turned 46, you know, age and really just being present, sitting with the work is how I think you just kind of move through that. Like, I don't have to do that.
I feel like the gift of growing, though, is this wisdom that you really cannot mimic or replicate. It only comes with going through experiences, taking action, like you said, boldly. Uh-huh. Ending things, beginning things. And I think that's the beauty. You cannot mimic that in any other way.
No, until you do it. That's what I try to tell all the clients I work with. Like, there's no hack. There's no spreadsheet. There's nothing but to do it, you know?
Yeah. Action breeds more clarity.
That's
the
it.
The more you do, the more you're like, ah, I hated that. Nope.
Yeah.
Or I love that. You know, you can't really, like you said, you can't really read that in a book. You got to get out in the field.
Agreed.
What do you say, final question, before we go to our toolkit section. What do you say to the woman who struggles to dream bigger for herself? Like, I just don't know how. I don't know if I can do it. I have struggled believing in myself.
I would say to her, you are not struggling, which is probably like what I would say to talk to that feeling, right? What is that? What is that? And really sit with it. And try to untangle why you feel like you can't take the next step, right? And then I would say, what is the smallest thing that you can do toward that? And it might just be opening the book. It might just be like starting the email draft. It might just be sometimes it's just too big. Right? It's just too big. The thing that you want is too big. And so like, let's just break it down into the smallest step and then take the step, right? And if you struggle with like you said, like I dreaming bigger, I think it's just like figuring out what you desire, because I think there's just a lot of noise around what is bigger, because your life might be, I can tell you this, most of the people that I work with are living the lives that they want. I do this exercise where I just have them lay out like a perfect day in their life. And there's maybe like three things they don't have, you know?
Interesting.
It's everybody's mostly doing what they want to be doing.
And just and not just, realizing it?
That's it. I've never done this exercise with someone and everything's out of whack. It's just like maybe they're missing the partner or the dog or, you know, the location they need. Maybe they need to move or maybe they need to like move to a place with more windows. But I've not seen anybody completely like misaligned. And so I think that's the part that's hard, is not being able to recognize that you are living a lot of the life that you said you wanted. And I think the other thing that I would say that I notice in my work is that whenever people feel misaligned, they always think it's something about the job or about the career, or they need to do something different. They need to start a podcast, a newsletter. And really it's like, there's another exercise that I do that kind of like gets you to look at your entire life. And it's like, most of y'all need to go play.
Oof.
Okay. A lot of y'all need to go play. You need to go play. And I was having a coffee with my partner recently and he works in the arts. And I was saying to him, so my kids go to a lot of museums. I go to more museums because I'm with him. I see a lot of art. And we paint in this house. We draw in this house. And I said, what has blown my mind in working with a lot of like high achieving, goal-oriented women is how art and aesthetics are missing from their lives. And instead of just like filling that cup, they're thinking they need to change the job or they need to go do something else. And a lot of times you need to watercolor, you need to update the aesthetics in your home, you need to go to a museum. Art matters. There's this book that I love that I recommend. It's called Your Brain on Art. Your brain needs art. It needs music. It needs poetry. And we strip it away and we just want people to work. But a lot of you would be more satisfied with your jobs if you would go play and go play some music and go to the museum and go run through grass and throw your head back. Like, things would, sometimes things become more tolerable because you are like, you are at a deficit. You are not looking at all the different areas in your life. You're just like, I'm going to just do more work or change my work.
Right. It's like, we should have never ended recess.
Never.
We all need that. There's,
or art class or theater.
Right. I hate to see them constantly defunding art in schools. It makes me so sad. I'm an artist to the core. And so I believe you. And I never thought about that, that sometimes if in our life we're feeling uninspired, it's like, well, where is the art? Is it around you? Like, is it? And art can look like so many things. But like you said, man, in the summers, my bonus star, her father doesn't like her to have her phone a lot.
Okay.
So she's only allowed to have it a certain period of the day. And unless she's at camp, if she's home, he always makes her do something with her hands. Like, go do something with your hands. She likes to crochet or draw or mold. She has like a little pottery thing she does. And it's like, but we don't do that.
We need to do it.
We tell the kids to do that. But then what do we do? What do I do? I'm going to speak for myself. I go back on their phone.
And I've been watercoloring. It's amazing.
Okay, I am. That's going to be our summer thing. I'm going to get into it.
It's so good.
I almost...
And so forgiving.
Right? It's forgiving.
It's very forgiving.
Oh, that's kind of sweet, the little metaphor there.
Yes.
That's funny, because we were about to go into our toolkit, but I think you just gave it right there.
Okay. What were you going to say?
This is like we have an unruly toolbox, and every guest puts a tool in there. And if you are going to leave a tool for clarity... Whether it's an idea, a mantra, an exercise.
Yeah, I guess a tool that I would give is, I think that goes so great with this conversation, would probably just be to sort of like, I call it just like being where you are. And I know that I follow you and I know that like it's about wellness, but I think something that you do really well, it's just like approachable wellness, you know, like maybe you don't want to meditate for multiple hours a day. And maybe some of this stuff is just like going over your head. It's too lofty. I get it. I'm that person like, girl, just say it. Like, I ain't got time for all this, you know, just I am like that. And so something that I do that's really small, but really like meditative is just to be where I am, just to be like, notice your first sip of coffee or your first drink of water and just like notice it and feel it and just like try to like be in your body with it. And sometimes I just will ask my body a question, just like, what do you want me to know? No wrong answers. Your body never gives you wrong answers.
The body never gives you wrong answers.
Never. Never.
That's a bar too. I love that. Just ask your body, what do you want me to know?
What do you want me to know? Mm-hmm. And it'll be like, go for a walk. Hey, like, don't do this today. You know, it's, and trust, that, like, we were born wordless. Trust it.
Oof. My brain just went in a million ways because one time when I was still studying acting, it was a vocal coach and she was talking to us about how babies have the most honest and pure form of vocal communication. They speak directly when they need something. They get their needs met through their voice. They don't care if they're loud. They don't care how it sounds. I have to get it out. And this is my main way to communicate. And as we get more sophisticated with our speech, we get less honest.
Yes.
And we also disconnect from our inner voice because there's this gap forming that like, did I really think that? Oh, I don't know. Should I say that? Oh, I don't want to. And then before you know it, you don't know how to speak anymore or hear.
You've edited yourself out of your life completely.
Boom.
And you're not who you are, you know? And it's just like, that's some of the, like, what I love to do when I work with people is I'm like, I don't need your best self. Your best self is not welcome here because I can't work with the best self. I need you. I need you messy. I need you petty. I need you. That's how we can work.
And that's
you
it.
Know?
And that's the lesson that she gave us today. Is just clarity is not this big one moment. It is an ongoing process.
Ongoing. It's micro moments. like shortened windows, noticing, you know what I mean? And I think, like you said, just not begging.
Not begging. That's it. Take that. If you take anything from this conversation, let it be that. Do not beg anything. My leak, thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you.
Thank you for reminding us that the path to clarity can be wavy and windy. Yes. That the fog might set in. It doesn't mean you're a failure. It's just chaos looks like organization and chaos are similar.
Yes.
And
yes.
If you're in your season and, you know, don't rush out of it. Be in it. Ask yourself new questions. Hear the answers. Stay soft, stay in art. And Malik, where can people find you? I know they're going to be, they already know what you at, girl, but let them know.
Yeah, I am at Malik, M-Y-L-E-I-K, everywhere, Malik.com, at Malik on social, like on Substack. That's the, I hated my name growing up. And now it's like, it's unique, you know? So I'm Malik everywhere. Thank you.
Malik, it won't be the last. I'll see you on the internet later, I'm sure.
Yes. I'll be on Threads. And hopefully sometime in Atlanta, because you're in Atlanta.
Yes, I am.
I know. I will see you around. I'm starting to creep back outside.
I know, right? I'll be dipping my toe outside every now and then.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you so much.
Of course.
And thank
have
you
a
for
good
listening.
One.
And stay unruly and stay clear, y'all. Until next time. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to follow or subscribe so you never, ever, ever, ever miss an episode of Unruly.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.